before we celebrated the Lord's Supper, actually the time when I read from the Ten Commandments this morning, I quoted from Lord's Day 30 of the Heidelberg Catechism about who are to come to the table of the Lord, and that instructed us that we're first of all to be truly displeased with our sin, and secondly also to trust that our sin is forgiven in Christ and that our remaining weakness also is covered in the suffering death of Christ. But then the third part was that we'd also desire more and more to strengthen our faith and amend our life, that is to change and to keep on growing in who we are now in Jesus Christ. That's something which I'd really like to focus on in this afternoon's sermon, where we'll be focusing on the second letter of Peter in connection with Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32 about why must we yet do good works. This particular sermon, rather than follow the catechism particularly closely, we're following what we have to read from in 2 Peter. So let's read together from 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read verse 1 through to 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So far, the reading from God's holy word may be helpful for you to keep that passage open as I preach to you, but we'll first of all read together from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32. You can find this on page 548 in your book of prayers. Lord's Day 32. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ, without any merit of our own, why must we yet do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit to be his image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for his benefits and he may be praised by us. Further, that we ourselves may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and that by a godly walk of life we may win our neighbors for Christ. Question 87. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent walk of life? By no means. The scripture says that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, greedy person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What a strange thing for Peter to write. For this very reason, add to your faith. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. What does it mean to add to your faith? Isn't faith enough? Didn't the Apostle Paul write in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one can boast." Didn't we just confess this also in Lord's Day 32 of the Catechism? "We have been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ, without any merit of our own." So why does Peter now write to you that you are to add to your faith? Or other translations like the ESV says, supplement your faith. Well, the Bible does indeed teach us that our salvation is Christ's work from beginning to end. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot add anything to our salvation. But the Bible also says something else, and let me quote from a few verses. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 is what I just read to you. Indeed, that by grace you've been saved through faith, it's not your own doing. But it immediately adds on in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Titus chapter 3 verse 8 says, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." James 2 verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And finally, Matthew 7 verse 19, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the Bible not only calls us to faith, the Bible also calls us to a life of faith. And a life of faith is to be seen in good works. And that's what Peter's referring to when he wrote in verse 5, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith." Because good works are necessary. And that's also what we confess in Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And so turning to God's word in 2 Peter, considering also what we confess in Lord's Day 32, I preach God's word to you. Good works are necessary on account of, one, God's work in us, and two, God's work through us. Good works are necessary on account of God's work in us and God's work through us. Many people, I think most people, believe that you have to do good works. But then most of them are mistaken as to the reason for doing them. Many non-Christians, people who don't believe or follow Christ, many of them are good in a human sort of a way, devoted to caring for the world as well as for the welfare of the people in the world. That's very noble of them. Others do good so that they might be noticed, hopefully be rewarded in one way or another. And still others try to be good people in an effort to please their God, and that's a God with a small g, or else to help them along their journey of reincarnation into the next life. But even Christians will make every effort to do good works for the wrong reasons. Some people are scared. They're either scared of God himself or of what others might think and say about them. They're afraid of God's anger. They don't have a good understanding of the grace of God in Jesus Christ and the peace that is ours in him. Or else, perhaps they're not so much afraid of God, but they're afraid of the looks, of the judgment, of the comments, of the cold shoulder that they feel they might receive from other people when they do what they considered might be the wrong thing. And then there are others who believe that you have to do good works so that God will accept you, so that you can be saved. But this is not what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 is talking about. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and so forth. For this very reason. But what is that reason? Well, the answer to that comes in the verses before it. You can see that in just the way it's written, for this very reason. So obviously, he's just told us the reason. And in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, Peter writes about what God has already done for us. He writes this letter from verse 1, to those who have obtained or received like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, the people to whom Peter is writing this letter shared in the same faith as Peter himself, along with the rest of the apostles. It was a faith in Jesus Christ and the righteousness that we have in Christ. That means that this faith is a matter of trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. Of believing, as Laws 32 puts it, of believing that we have been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ without any merit of our own. This is how Peter begins this letter. And because we have been given this faith, we've received it, the blessing of God's grace and peace is also multiplied to you. In fact, through his divine power, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's everything that we need for a godly life. This is in verse 3. And verse 4 adds that God has given us such a great and rich promises that we might become partakers of the divine nature. That means that we might live in Christ. That we might reflect Christ more and more. That we might, as Laws 32 puts it, that we might be renewed by his Holy Spirit to be his image. And how do we do this? We do this having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter. You see, this is what God has given us. That's who we are, and that's what we are in Christ. And then he says, and it's because of this. It's for this very reason, because of who you are in Christ, what you've received in him, therefore make every effort to add to your faith these qualities that come later. And so adding to or supplementing our faith, therefore, it's not adding to your salvation. You need to see that distinction. It's not adding to your salvation. It's not even adding to your standing before God in Jesus Christ. There is only one way to be saved. There is only one way to be found acceptable before God, and that is in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth of the gospel, the truth that Peter himself emphasizes in the first four verses of this letter. But then it says, but it's because of this, because of everything you've received in Jesus Christ, because your salvation is in him alone, therefore, he says, add to your faith. So why does he write this? And what does it mean? Well, when Peter wrote this letter, there were false teachers who were saying something very different. These false teachers were actually saying, doesn't matter how you live. You can do what you want. Follow your heart. Follow your heart's desires. And Peter doesn't mince his words when he describes them. I'll read a few verses from this letter, from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Where he talks in the middle of verse 13 then, these are the ones who, verse 13 and halfway through, who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and they are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way, and they have gone astray. I'll just leave it there. But then reading on then, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. And being in bondage means to be enslaved by sin, as answer 87 of the Catechism points out. And that they and those like them, therefore, would not be saved. And that's also what it says in verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And so it's in response to them. It's a response to these false teachers that Peter wrote this letter, and he urged the readers of this letter to make every effort to add to their faith, to do good works, to live a life that is holy before the Lord. And we need to understand this as well. It is true that we are saved by grace alone and in Christ alone. It is true that our entire salvation rests in Christ's finished work, but it is equally true that we who have been saved by true faith in Jesus Christ must live out of that faith and grow in that faith. It is equally true that we must be diligent to live in Christ and to grow in the grace that He's given us. You see, Christianity is not a dead religion in a sense that, well, this is just something to tick on your census form. Yes, I'm a Christian, I'll just keep on living as I like. To become a Christian is a life-changing event. Indeed, to use the words again of Lord's 32, when Christ redeems us by His blood, He also renews us by His Holy Spirit to be His image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for His benefits and that He might be praised by us. And that's why we must do good works. And that's the context in which Peter tells us to add to our faith, because good works are necessary on account of God's work in us. Now, we don't talk about this and don't talk in this way very often. It's not often that we hear about the need to add to your faith. But Peter uses this expression to demonstrate that godliness and a growth in godly behavior, it doesn't just happen. It's not as though God says, well, go ahead, keep living the way you always have. Make sure you enjoy yourself and don't take yourself or your faith too seriously. It's all good. I'll give you my grace. I'm just going to drip feed godliness to you and holiness to you. So in some mysterious way, the older you get, the more godly you're going to be. God doesn't speak like that. As if to say, you're only young once, just live it up. Or no. And those of you who are older, who might look back on your life, and to recognize for much of your life you have not really truly taken your walk with God seriously, you may also look back with regret and to recognize in your life even now how this has not also been helpful to you. And in many ways you are still growing and need to grow so much more in your faith on account of that. God tells us in His word that we who are made alive in Christ must now live in Him. And He teaches us in His word that also calls for discipline, for spiritual discipline. The Apostle Paul, he writes and he calls us to press on. He speaks about the fight against sin. He writes at one time about pummeling his body into submission, about being diligent to do what is right. And it's in this same context then that Peter speaks about adding to your faith. No, not in the way your faith is somehow insufficient, but so that you might take what you have in Christ and that you might live in this and that you may grow in this and you may be eager to do good works. And if you don't do this, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 to 11 makes clear, if you don't add to your faith in this way, then you will not be living as one who has escaped the corruption of this world. You may not be living as one who is a partaker, he says, in the divine nature. That is, you will not be being renewed more and more after Christ's image. You will not be living as someone who's been cleansed from his sin. And therefore, your life in Christ, even your salvation in him, it is under threat. And then Peter tells you what he means, actually, to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, this is verse 5, and to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And then in verse 8 and following, it tells us what happens if we do or don't supplement our faith in this way. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way to be effective, the way to bear good, the fruit of good works, therefore, is in that way to add to your faith, to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, and so forth. If you don't do this, you will not grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will become ineffective. You will become unfruitful. And then your life will be wasted in your service to God. And even worse, you are warned that a branch that does not bear good fruit will be cut off from the vine and thrown into the fire. Peter goes on in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If you aren't diligent in living from your faith, if you aren't actively putting sin to death and striving to grow in godliness, using all the means God has put at your disposal, then you are short-sighted to the point of being blind. You have forgotten what Jesus did for you. You have forgotten that what you have in Christ. You've forgotten you've escaped from this corruption that's in the world. You've escaped from the lust of this world and for all those things that are indeed ungodly and dragging you away from Christ. And you are, as he's going to say later on in this letter, you're going to be like a pig that returns to wallow in the mire. And so how is this going with yourself? How are you going and growing in your life of sanctification, in your life of good works, of holiness? You see, when we're speaking about good works, we're not just speaking about individual great things that you might do. We're speaking about a life that is devoted, that is focused on a love and a desire to follow Christ and to live for him, to praise him, to grow in your life with him and your relationship with him, and to do everything out of that. When you became a Christian, or when you began to grow in your faith to the point that you're ready to profess your faith, or when you went through a great upheaval in your life, in times such as this, it may well be that God has convicted you of your sin. But then also recognizing the joy of being forgiven in your sin, being forgiven from your sin in Jesus Christ. It is in these times too that it's as if everything has changed. The world becomes different. You become thankful. You become excited for what Christ has done for you. The Bible becomes alive. You have these wonderful plans and commitments also to grow in the Scriptures and to grow in your knowledge of God and to be faithful and committed in your walk with the Lord in every way. You want to grow in your relationship with him. But then what sometimes happens is that the excitement wears off, that we become discouraged by sin, the sin in the lives of others. And perhaps that has hurt us and has made us somewhat disenchanted. The little sins, the little habits that creep back into our own lives and they begin to grow a life of their own and become big sins. All these things can begin to stifle out the joy of the gospel, until they choke us and our joy in Christ. And then we begin to falter. And we begin to fail. And we begin to fall. And so we go back to our old ways and our old habits. It's as if we've forgotten that we were cleansed from those former sins. As Peter says, we become short-sighted and blind. And we lose sight of what Christ has done for us. And we need to understand that this is indeed a very real danger for each one of us as God's children. If your life with Christ has become ineffective and unfruitful, and if your love for the corrupt things of this world, which Peter describes as worldliness, as sexual sin, as drunkenness, as ungodly talk, desire for wealth, for luxury, for pride, and all these things, if your love for these things are gaining your attention more and more, and the wonder of the gospel and the desire to live a holy and a Christian life is falling off the radar, that means you have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. You have forgotten what you were saved from. You have forgotten what it means to be cleansed from sin. And so you stop looking behind you to the cross of Christ. And Peter will also make clear in chapter 3, it also means you stop looking forward to the return of Christ, when this world will be destroyed. And when we might look forward to a new world where righteousness dwells. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? And that's the reason why we are to make every effort to add to our faith. That's the reason why we are to strive and to give all diligence to growing in our life with God. Let's go into my second point, and that is God's work through us. When the Apostle Peter wrote in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, he did not leave things there, but he gave a list of what we are to add to our faith. And these are the things here. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You'll notice that he repeats, he says something, he repeats it to say the next thing, he repeats that to say the next thing, and so forth. And it's as if you're on this ladder, this step ladder going up. And for that reason, people have often called this the ladder of faith. In this way, Peter does teach us there is to be a progression in our life, a progression in our godliness, so that as we do mature in faith, as we do get older in years, that we are also to see and observe within ourselves that renewal taking place and that godliness taking greater effect and in our lives also. But at the same time, however, we need to understand that it's not as though you do one thing first, you graduate from that and you step to the next one, and each one of these points is a higher step on the ladder in a sense of that the others fall away, or even that the one is more important than the other. But rather, these things that Peter speaks about here, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, each one of these things is critically important for us as God's people, as Christians, to be engaged in and to do. We also need to understand it's not as though that's it, that this is a comprehensive list of all the things we need to do, and for the rest we can go off and do whatever. The rest of the scriptures teach us there are many other aspects of our life of godliness. And I might refer here also to what the Apostle Paul speaks about in Galatians chapter 5 of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Doing good works, living for Christ, does also mean that we are to be engaged in these fruits of the Spirit and to do these things. But notice also that it's not all of those fruits of the spirits that are mentioned here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Only some are: love, patience, and self-control. Notice also that when the Apostle Paul speaks about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, he begins with love, whereas Peter ends with love. And so this list in 1 Peter 1, it's not intended to be exhaustive. It's not as though you progress either from one to the next. But what it does do is gives us a very practical guidance of what he's speaking about when he says that you're to add to or supplement your faith, that you are to live out of the blessings of what is yours in Jesus Christ. And this is how we are to live a life of good works. And yet, even as you do these things, it's not your work, but it's God's work in you. Remember what he said there. Verse 3, he reminds us, it is God's divine power that has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by virtue and glory and virtue. You see, already verse 3, some of these things he said, add to your faith these things. He's already said in verse 3, actually God's divine power is the one that's given them to you. Now just work it. And so the glory and the excellence that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, this virtue which caused him to call us to believe in him, is to be seen in us too. Our life then is to be a life that gives glory to God. It is to be a life that exalts him. It is a life where Jesus Christ is clearly reflected in us. And you see, this is what the false teachers that Peter's writing against, they didn't understand. At 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, he said, for they, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. But a godly life in Jesus is the opposite to that. Those who are redeemed in Christ are called to look away from the sin and the filth of this world, as well as the pride and the selfishness of this world, and instead look at the excellence and the goodness of God. And we're going to see this happening. We're going to grow in virtue when we live out our faith, when we grow in faith, when we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and godliness and brotherly affection and love. But to grow in these things, to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to go to the source of all of this, who is Jesus Christ. We need to live in Christ and grow in him. And so we see that 2 Peter chapter 1 is not some kind of a pep talk, some sort of a message to say, you just need to toughen up and you just need to do better at this and you need to just turn over a new leaf and try all over again. And telling you, you've got the power in yourself to do this. No, that's not what it's like. You will not find the strength in yourself to add virtue to your faith and so forth. But when we turn to Jesus Christ and when we live in him, then as partakers of the divine nature, being partakers of Christ himself, then we'll want to do all that we can to grow in Jesus Christ. Then we will strive to be godly. We will strive to be Christ-like. We will strive to be men and women and children of virtue. And then as we grow in faith, we will add virtue to our faith and virtue all of those other points that are raised there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And that's also what we experienced this morning, isn't it? As we ate and drank at the Lord's table. By taking of the bread and by drinking from the cup, what we were also instructed and we were convicted of in doing this is that we partake in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are participants in him. We partake in the divine nature. Not only are we washed in his blood so that our sins are forgiven, but we are renewed and made alive by his Holy Spirit, and so that we are indeed new people in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone. But for this very reason, having been forgiven of past sin, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, let us strive to live the new life that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us be diligent that we make every effort to supplement, to add to our faith. Because if we do these things, then we will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly to enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.